The Highlands is on the edge of one of the biggest potential infrastructure build-outs it's ever seen. That breaks down to over 250 projects, more than £100 billion of investment. And at peak demand, that potential is a need for 16,000 workers. The problem is, those workers don't exist yet. So today I'm talking to Callum McIntosh, one of three Highland businessmen who decided not to wait for someone else to solve that issue. He's the owner of Highland Hammer Hire, he's a former president of the Scottish Plant Owners Association and one of the founders of High Skills, a community interest company with a bold and contested plan to turn a derelict, fly-tipped quarry on the edge of Inverness into a national centre for infrastructure skills. This is what it looks like when people from the inside of an industry decide to fix it themselves. Thank you for coming on the podcast. You've got a really interesting story, but first let's set the scene. Your company is Highland Hammer Hire. You've been working in the construction industry through that for a long time. Tell me about that company, how you started your journey, and how you came to be here today.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting story how that business came to be. I was working in the west coast of Scotland for some time in a remote place called Neudert, and we had some equipment on hire over there. I was working with my father's business, which was also in construction, and we had some equipment on hire for the duration of the contract that we just never used throughout the whole term, 18 months, never touched it at all. And I thought to myself, gee whiz, that was a money spinner for the company that was doing that. But I realised there was also an opportunity in the Highlands for another business to be doing this. And I just took it upon myself to say, well, if there is an opportunity for another business, then why can't it be me? So in August 2014, I made the steps forward to start the business. And November 2014, we started Highland Hammer Hire.
I'd never looked back since then.
Never looked back at all. I mean, there's always ups and downs and trials and tribulations, but no, it's been very enjoyable.
And your story started at quite a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been working in construction really since I was a wee boy. Although, in truth, when I was born and when my other two brothers were born, we were given two items by our father, each of us the same things, each of us a hammer and a model excavator. And I suppose the path was set for us at a young age. You were either going to be a joiner or a digger.
That was a really, that hammer hire was actually a really early reference.
Well, that's also a bit of a sign in that as well, I'm sure. Yeah. When I was in school, I spent all my time on the holidays and at weekends when I was kind of an age to do so, working for my father and had a great mentor as well who was working for him at the time. He's not with us anymore, sadly, but he was a fantastic supporter and journeyman for me.
Who was that?
Ali Duff was his name.
Ali Duff.
Fantastic guy. So he taught me a lot. I spent a lot of time with him up early in the morning, heading to jobs at 13, 14, 15. But when I left school at 50, I was never academic, right? I was never academic. I was never destined to go to university. And I wanted out of school as fast as possible. So I left at 15. And my only options were to go into an apprenticeship or a college course. Obviously, I wanted to get into the world of plant. And I sought an apprenticeship for plant. And sadly, everybody told me, no, there is no apprenticeship and there's nowhere you can do it and all the rest of it. So I started a course in civil engineering at Inverness College. And while I was doing that, one of the apprenticeship kind of officers from CITB collared me one day in the corridor on the way back from the library and said, why did you choose civils? And I explained that the reason I chose it was because there was no plant apprenticeship available. And she told me, well, there is such a thing. And there's a college that delivers it. Oh, it's blimey neck. Where's this? Well, it's in Norfolk. And you know, by the time you're 16 and a half or 17, you've already committed yourself to a course and you've already kind of put more roots down here at home. You're thinking, oh, do you really want to go all the way to Norfolk to study? When in reality, I can already do the job because I've been doing it since I was 13. You know?
It's a very long way from your
frightful distance. So yeah, so that's kind of where my story started. From there, and ever since then, ever since 15, I've been in the industry in some way, shape, or form, whether it's hiring, selling, doing the work, doing groundworks, plant operating, civils work, foundation.
Well, so you've kind of motivated yourself to kind of create a business out of need.
Yeah.
You've seen a gap in the market. You've seen it must have been quite a journey, you know, when you were starting out as a young man to kind of create this company, Highland Hammer.
It was, but I mean, my family is probably my biggest inspiration in life. All my family are entrepreneurial. My father started his own business. My grandfather started his own business. His father was very industrious and entrepreneurial. So it's just in the blood. It's in the DNA. And, you know, these things don't come easy. It's not a doddle to do. But when you have that sort of inspiration and motivation there to push you on, then it does make it a bit easier.
And has that made you passionate about the fact that there just aren't enough skills delivery systems here for young people that might want to follow your path?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's probably my biggest driver in life at the moment is how many other Callums are there in the Highlands and Islands or Scotland as a whole who have a rough idea what pathway they want, but don't know what it is, or it doesn't exist in Scotland. And these are lost opportunities. You know, these people are possibly choosing, you know, random roles that they just don't want to do, but because they're being forced to do it, you know, they need employment of some sort. So that's a big driver for me, is how do we support these people into the construction and civil engineering industry.
I don't suppose you've ever seen a young person sitting in the cab of a digger who hates being
there. No, it's a fantastic job. I mean, you know, especially through the winter, you know, excellent job. So
a building job inside a cab.
Yeah, heated seats and everything nowadays, you know, so.
Yeah. So you've been doing this. What was it about that skills gap that, you know, made you think need to do something different? What was the moment was there an inspirational moment where you're going, I just have to do something here? Because I want to ask you about high skills.
Yeah, I think back in 2015, I joined the Scottish Plant Owners Association. And through engagement with the association and then joining the board, I became more acutely aware of the entire skills landscape for specialist skills in Scotland. And very clear in the gaps that were there for both the learners, the new entrants, and the employers. And into 2019, we did come up with, myself and some of my colleagues in the association at the time, we did come up with a concept to deliver some sort of program here in Scotland to deliver some of these specialist skills. But by the time we launched that business case, it was March 2020, and COVID came in.
Every plan on the book.
Yeah, and all funding, you know. So you'll remember it well. But that problem's never disappeared. It's only manifesting every year, every decade, into a bigger problem, a bigger skills gap. And with rural depopulation across the Highlands as well, that's also not helping us. You know, we need to do work to keep people here.
It's a constant piece of work to, you know, not only retain some of our young people, but attract more back in.
100%.
Made really difficult by, you know, different factors, as you've said.
Yeah. If you can't, if you look at the pipeline of work ahead, if you can't train people in the roles and occupations that are needed to deliver some of these projects here, at least in Scotland, then what hope do we have of maximising the benefit out of all of these projects? It would be, you know, foolish to think that foreign labour is not going to be involved, but you don't want 100% of the projects delivered 100% by foreign labour. You know, you at least want that legacy out of that for the people. A legacy of skills. And if there was ever a golden opportunity, you know, now's the time to go and grasp it. So that sort of plan from 2019 was unearthed again early last year, really over the Christmas holidays. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. Now is the time. Now's the time to pull that and dust it off, but perhaps look at it with a bigger view.
Let's come to high skills. You set this up with Jack Howell and Dylan Spink. How did the three of you come together around this idea?
So early last year, I started working on this kind of vision, if you will, for some sort of skills centre. And in engaging with others across the Highlands, I was told of another pair of chaps that were looking at something very similar. They were looking at it from a renewable energy perspective, which, of course, links in very well with what I was looking at. So we were introduced to one another. I think February it was, 2025. And as it turns out, Jack and Dylan are both ex-industry, and they're both working currently in recruitment. And they are very clear that in recruitment, if you don't have people, skilled people to place, they don't have a business. And just the same as, you know, we don't have a business if we don't have people to carry out the work and operate the equipment and all the rest of it. If the people don't exist, you know, there's nothing. It's all about people. So we got together and we chewed the fat one day, and we looked at the kind of template for what they had, the template for what I had, and said, aye, actually, do you know what? There is an opportunity, and there's a golden opportunity today to do something on a scale that Scotland's been needing for decades, given the pipeline of work that's ahead in the Highlands.
So just let's talk about that pipeline of work that's heading here. I mean, you're talking about the Green Freeport, I presume, the fact that there's going to be increased housing needs, those kinds of things. Is there
absolutely. I mean, if you look at housing need alone is colossal. You know, the ambition to build 24,000 homes over the next decade is colossal, and the workers that will require is tremendous. But a lot of that is driven off the back of infrastructure investment, and whether it's green hydrogen or pump storage hydro or onshore or offshore wind, even just the port developments in themselves. If you look at Kishorne Port and the money that's been spent on expanding that to accommodate offshore wind, obviously Ardersier here as well is the same.
And the spirals out into all kinds of infrastructure,
huge,
doesn't it?
Huge, absolutely huge. And that's before you start getting onto things like the A9 or the A96 and rail infrastructure. It's colossal. You know, the Highlands and Islands Enterprise Regional Transformational Opportunities, the RTO document, suggests that 16,000 additional construction workers are needed over the next 15 years. And 18,000, I think it was, in operations and maintenance.
That's an incredible number of jobs, incredible number of families, you know, positively affected if you can take advantage of it.
Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. It's a great opportunity and a great opportunity to create that legacy of skills I was talking about earlier in the Highlands and Islands. And for me as well, a great opportunity to attract people here, to stay here, build their families here in our communities and support us as a region to deliver on these projects.
So you came together and you got this idea around that that opportunity that you saw. You set up the High Skills as a community interest company. Why did you choose a community interest? Surely, with that scale of opportunity, this is a big commercial opportunity rather than something you would do as a community company. Why did you choose a community company?
Absolutely. So in April last year, we rallied the troops, so to speak. We hosted an event with stakeholders from all across the region, whether they were contractors or in education, etc. And we pitched the vision. This is what we think Scotland needs, but we should be building it here in the Highlands, given the opportunity ahead. Yes, we agree. Okay. It's all about legacy benefit for the people. Yes. So really what that means is that every pound of profit made out of this needs to be reinvested back into the purpose. So yes, you could do it as a commercial venture, but is that truly delivering the best value for the region? And is that truly going to give you the best legacy?
The Highlands in particular, Scotland in general, but you know, we've got, you mentioned a couple of places, Ardersier, Neg. We've all seen commercial investment there. which has been phenomenal at the time, but then no legacy left. So was that in the back of your mind when you were thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, there has been some legacy in some of these projects, and you know, I commend it all the investment.
But I'm talking way back in the oil boom days.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, you know, we don't have the legacy today that we should have had from 50 years ago.
Exactly.
But there's just a clear opportunity to think bigger. I mean, legacy doesn't just need to be a new public hall, you know, a new school, this, that, and the next thing. It can be more than that. And why can't it be a legacy of skills and a legacy of good quality, well-paid employment for Highland folk? You know, that's really what it should be. And if we can create an organisation as a community interest company to reinvest every pound of profit back into that purpose, then it's just a much better proposition. It's much more rewarding for everybody.
So the community interest company is set up. You've got this vision. You want to take advantage of this opportunity. There's a driving force, which goes back to your childhood, about legacy, because this is something about the young Callum that's in the back of your mind. Your partners sound as though they're, you know, in the same frame of mind about how do you leave something for the generations that are coming up and all those young people that want to get involved. There are mechanisms already to help with skills, as well as your venture, your community interest company, the CITB. How do you see you sit alongside other stakeholders, such as, you know, for example, University of Highlands and Islands?
So what we're bringing forward is a facility to train specialist skills, which currently aren't trained either in the Highlands or in Scotland altogether. And that should also provide a pipeline place for organisations, anchor institutions like UHI, to funnel people to from some of the courses that they deliver.
So you see this as absolutely complementary to the, in fact, a boost for the current system.
Yeah, absolutely. It's purposefully designed not to compete with the current skills market in the region. It's to fill a gap, and it's to fill it in a sufficient enough size or volume so that we in the north can take ownership of that skills landscape. And in particular, as I mentioned earlier, this concept of travelling 500 miles for training is a colossal barrier to entry for folk from, doesn't matter if you're from Orkney or Shetland or Wick or Caithness, or anywhere really in Scotland. It's a tremendous journey to make, and we should be able to do that at the very least in Scotland.
So for people who maybe don't get the picture of that, when you had the proposition of going away to Norfolk, I think it was, you know, I take it at that place they had all the equipment on site. They would be, you know, people who are day-to-day workers as well as instructors with these things, kind of things that you is a different piece of infrastructure. Is that correct?
Hugely different. I mean, I am one of the country's biggest advocates for the National Construction College in Norfolk. It's a fantastic place. I've never run it down, and I've always worked constructively with them. It's an ex-RAF base, so it's a colossal size of site, and it has all the modern equipment needed, whether you're doing scaffolding or steeplejacking or roofing or civils work or plant or cranes. It's got a sufficient enough size of site where you can do all the practical vocational training that's needed to create competent people for the industry. But with the infrastructure landscape in the whole of the UK, it is going to be overrun at some point in the future. If you look at Sizewell's on its doorstep, for example, its capacity is going to be fairly limited as well. So there's clearly a need.
So it's not only far away, but likely to be oversubscribed.
Yeah, quite likely. So there's clearly a need to work in collaboration with these organisations to extend that capacity. And again, if we can work in collaboration with an organisation like the National Construction College to co-deliver our vision for apprenticeship delivery for these specialist skills, which our current skills landscape in Scotland is not geared to do, then we should absolutely should. We should grasp that opportunity and work with them to deliver it.
For Vein Quarry, that's where you've targeted for this venture and for this community interest company to do its work. Why did you pick that site? Walk me through what drove you to that particular decision of that's where the destination should be.
So, again, early last year when we were looking at this concept, we knew that the National Construction College is 450-odd acres. It's a colossal site. So we already know from a practical sense what sort of areas are needed to deliver certain aspects of training. And essentially, you're trying to scale down that facility into something in the Highlands. There are very few sites of sufficient size to do that. But we did a bit of an options appraisal and we took advice from Highlands and Islands Enterprise as well on what sites were available. There are a handful, there's no doubt about it. You know, people would say, why not Ardizier, for example? Ardizier's got some pretty big plans of its own. Giving us 50 acres is just not on the agenda. Highland Deephaven, for example, again, great site, but it's within the Freeport, has other opportunities available to it. We also know, though, where, and I'll go back to the National Construction College, it is miles outside Kingsland, outside of the nearest town. It is not best suited for visiting candidates or students to be staying in accommodation where they have no additional facilities in the evening or at the weekend.
So the location is a bonus.
So location is for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, where do you find a site of 30 to 50, 60 acres close to a town centre? Generally, you don't. They just don't exist. But given that I'm from Drumnadrochit, I drive past Torvine Quarry every day.
So it was a no-brainer for you and to look at that.
Yeah. It came up as one of the options. And in reality, it's the one that makes the absolute most sense. It's an ex-quarry site. It's a fantastic shape. It's all dished down. It's well protected and well shielded by nice mature trees around the outside that don't need touched. Great transport links. Bass Local tip, the new park and ride. Excellent sports facilities across the water, the Aquadome and the rugby park and the gym. And we've got the new golf course.
It's a really attractive place for people to interact with, as well as being a site which is cleared, as you say.
Absolutely. Whether you're a student or whether you're somebody that's working there, it's an attractive proposition.
Well, let's talk about that attractive proposition because, you know, obviously, Tervain, famously, if you're looking at the papers and things like that, it's been a site for fly tipping. There's been a lot of kind of misuse of the site, but there's also quite a lot of positive use. People will walk there. There's the archaeological aspects to it, environmental aspects to it. It's a place that people like, as you said, because of the location, people like to interact with. So how does that work alongside what you're planning?
I think we actually will be able to fit right in and support the use of many of these things and highlight some of the important pieces.
So you don't believe you'd be disrupting that then?
No, not at all. So, you know, straight off the bat, Torvine Quarry sits on the site of a triple SI, site of special scientific interest. Torvine Eskers are really important. It's a glacial deposit of sand and gravel. That's really why it became a quarry, but also why it stopped becoming a quarry. Now, we're not going in there to take material out of there. We intend on just building on top of the area that's already been quarried, so you're not disturbing any of the esker. But given...
So what you're saying, just so I can get that right, is that you're saying, look, the brown square of that, the area that's already been, you know, industrialised, is the one that you'd be using on it. It'd be difficult to do anything else with that, is that right? Or am I being too simplistic with that?
No, we certainly wouldn't be looking to... You're not looking to expand the site or dig into the hillside or strip any of the nice trees around from the outside at all. But there's an opportunity to highlight the importance of the eskers as well. And obviously, geology plays a key part in civil engineering. So there's a great sort of opportunity there to kind of highlight the geology of the Great Glen and the eskers. But as you said, you know, a lot of people use the quarry recreationally, legally recreationally. walkers, for example, there's a core path that goes through the quarry. Again, that actually sits outside the zone that we're looking to develop. And I see an opportunity, given the type of training that we're going to be delivering there, to make a better job of that core path, open it up, access the viewpoint at the top of the mound there, which you get a beautiful view down the canal in the Great Glen. So again, there's another opportunity in that. And you also mentioned the archaeological site. There's a historic hill fort there. Sadly, it's fallen victim to motorbike use and it's becoming eroded. Now, I don't see why we can't just fence that area off. It actually sits outside the property of the quarry itself. But I'm quite convinced that through collaboration with the neighbouring landowner that we'd be able to fence that, secure that, and put in some nice signboarding to highlight the relevance.
So that's something you'd be looking to do as part of the, apart from the community interest side of the company anyway, you'd be looking to do that as a, some a community benefit for...
Absolutely. For this. We're, you know, no matter how you cut it, the three of us that have brought this to where it is today, we're all locals. You know, we're all... well invested here in the area, so we're not incomers from outside of the country that have just decided to come in and airdrop this big training school into the middle of a quarry.
I want to pick that up because that's definitely something I think that needs highlighted about businesses that operate here in the Highlands. This is personal. You talked about your own journey from being a 15-year-old, the legacy of your family, the way they interacted with the place. You know, there is a thread of people who want to do some, develop some commercial opportunities and do business, but also think about the longer term legacy. And that's quite an important thing. But you're not the only group that have got plans for Tervain and the quarry there. The council has its own plans, Highland Council. You know, how do you feel that competes or doesn't with what you're planning to do?
Last year, we did see that as a bit of an obstacle. We saw the council had plans to build a battery storage scheme right in the middle of the quarry. And, you know, I commend the council's efforts at looking at renewable energy opportunities. But it definitely would have scuppered this vision. Interestingly, though, I see recently the tender's been withdrawn and it looks like the battery storage is now not on the agenda, which we can only take as a positive because it means the only feasible opportunity that's shovel ready, really, as a project is the high skills proposition. So actually, we don't feel too threatened by it at all. I think it's a great opportunity for the council to, again, collaborate with us to deliver something that's really going to put the Highlands on the map.
And do you feel your particular plans, your proposition that you're putting forward have been taken with enough urgency?
No. I mean,
not by yourself.
I know.
By the local government and others.
No, I mean, you know, frankly, the public sector doesn't move fast enough and doesn't have enough of a solid understanding of the specialist skills landscape to make quick decisions on this. And in my opinion, just maybe too much reporting on reports and more reporting and not enough just getting the job done. And if we're to realise any of these ambitions, even 50% of these ambitions, even build 12,000 of the homes instead of 24,000, we need to get started now. We, you know, the whole industry has had a skill shortage for decades. So the one thing that cannot afford to wait on red tape is growing the workforce and investing in the workforce. It needs to be done now.
We spoke earlier about the young Callum and the opportunity that you felt wasn't there for you at the time. You found a different path with it, but you were talking about all the other people that are young. Sometimes it will be not about young people, of course, because other people come into the training at different ages, but primarily young people, and you wanted to see those job opportunities come here to the Highlands. We mentioned earlier quite a challenging figure for a lot of people listening and watching of 16,000 jobs. Have you done any work to stress test that figure, or where do you get that from?
No, I mean, I think we can... we can take the 16,000 jobs at face value, given that they're from Highlands and Islands Enterprise. It's a very robust research piece that they put into it. But also alongside that, the likes of CITB also carry out annual reports and projections. It's looking like 10,000 construction jobs alone are needed in the following 12 to 18 months in Scotland. That's a colossal number in itself very soon. So there are far better economic and academic minds at work developing these figures. And it's really our job to deliver upon the skills.
So you've been presented with this this figure, this projection, that that's what's available for you. And what you're doing with this is just trying to facilitate how we might take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. How we can capitalise on that and make sure that there are opportunities for everybody, whether you're a career transitioner or ex-forces or ex-offender, anybody that's not in education or a school leaver. You know, there needs to be opportunities and pathways for everybody to come into these industries.
And like all these things, you know, it'll be dependent on the circumstances elsewhere that come along, the projects that, you know, go ahead. But there's no reason, is there, to imagine just now with the momentum that's building up here, these things are just not going to appear.
No, it's even if you look at the 250 projects and you imagine only half of them are going to happen, there's still a colossal opportunity here. There's still sufficient enough work and opportunity and jobs and training opportunity.
Do you think that's something people have difficulty getting their head around?
I think the numbers are so big, most people don't.
They don't believe them.
Right? Yeah, they either don't believe it or don't understand it. I think a lot in my industry, no shame to themselves, but you know, business is very challenging just now as it is. They have the head down, focusing on, you know, one thing, and that's just making it to the end of every week and the end of every month. And looking at the bigger picture outside isn't on the radar.
So that's quite an ambition. You've got all this set up. You've got the community interest company underway. You've described this as shovel ready. Where, if we had this conversation in 12 months, and who knows if we might have this conversation in 12 months, where would you see things being then, and what would you like to have happened?
So unlocking the site unlocks funding for us, and with that, we should be able to put in place our modular training building, which will enable us to deliver the first tranche of apprenticeship programmes and train and upskill 1,800 people within the first 12 months from across Scotland in a swathe of specialisms.
And you talked about the funding and permissions and things like that. So, again, what needs to happen? What would you like to see over the 12 months with that?
Well, you know, from a planning perspective, I would like the council to work with us on this and support the progression of planning as fast as possible. Simply because, again, you know, they're one of the biggest stakeholders in the region, one of the biggest beneficiaries, biggest employer. So their success is dependent on us delivering this project as fast as possible as well. But tapping into that funding, you know, the private sector funding is there and available to us once we have that site within our ownership.
And do you think getting this running would, obviously, it would benefit the Highlands. Do you think it would benefit a wider area than the Highlands and Islands?
Absolutely. So, you know, this project will benefit Scotland as a whole.
So you see this as a national project?
100%.
But you said very, very early on in our conversation, you think it should be based here. And I agree with you for good reasons, but that's the picture, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. You know, if you look at the statistics, typically the Highlands and Islands, for these specialist trades, is very good at recruiting apprentices. So if you're going to be delivering that apprenticeship training, you're as well delivering it as close to those employers that are switched on to it as possible. There's multiple reasons for that. But the reason High Skills has called this project the National Infrastructure Skills Centre is because we see it as being a national hub and putting the Highlands at the heart of all of these specialist infrastructure skills. So this should become an institution in its own right over time and the place to go if you're in Scotland for any of these specialist skills.
You're a if you're doing all of this work, you're constantly thinking about it. What do you do when you want to take a wee break? Oh, do you?
I don't. I simply don't. I just do more. I mean, my focus, there's absolutely no doubt, my focus over the last 12 months has been entirely on high skills, because the success of our industry in Scotland, in the Highlands and Islands, is dependent on having somewhere like this. And my heart is absolutely all in it. But as far as taking a break goes, I mean, yeah, there is nothing else other than succeeding.
So you're absolutely driven by this. And that leads me quite nicely into my last question to you. This podcast is called Growth for Good. And, you know, you've been talking about what you do, what you're writing. What you've been up to over the many years and the different accomplishments, as well as the plans that you've got for there. What does Growth for Good mean to you?
Growth for Good for me means essentially exactly what we're doing at High Skills, investing in things that have a greater purpose to others other than you. And I think that's at the heart of everything we're doing. We want our people and the people around us and the people coming to live here and work here to benefit from the fruits of our efforts. Because, and I've coined this phrase many times before, but a rising tide lifts all ships. And if we can reinvest our efforts into our communities around us, then we all prosper and the Highlands becomes a much better place for it.
Callum McIntosh, High Skills and Highland Hammer Hire. Thank you very much indeed for joining me on the Growth for Good podcast.
Thank you very much, too.
What struck me most about this conversation is that Callum isn't waiting. He's not lobbying for a strategy or asking for a working group. He's identified the problem, found the site, built the structure, and is now navigating the process to get it done. That's what community-led economic development looks like when it's real. So whether High Skills gets Torvain Quarry or not, the question it's asking is one the Highlands can't afford to ignore. Who is going to train the people we need and where? I'll link to the High Skills website and to the public consultation in the show notes. If you're in the sector or you know someone who should be a part of this, please go and have a look. And don't forget, if you like the podcast, please subscribe or like wherever you find it. It does help other people find it and share in this journey. Thanks again for listening to Growth for Good.